since I've been doing teen class here, we've been doing a study in the book of John. And as I mentioned to them, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is very interesting because John's Gospel is a little bit different in some respects than the other Gospels, in that John spends a lot of time discussing the relationship between Jesus and his Father. And it is interesting that there are some verses that today's interpretation of some of these verses leads to some level of confusion about the nature of God and the nature of Christ. And I thought we would do is take a look at some of these verses, and I'll start by just reading the verse. And then what we're going to do is do a little bit of investigative reporting here and understanding exactly what these verses have meant, because technically, really, we should all be on the same page. We should be all on the same page with understanding them. But 2,000 years have passed, and there has been much time for thoughts and such to be thought about and to be believed in. And it's interesting how there are many different interpretations on the theme. So if you will bear with me here, we will start in, and we'll read these just in the order of how they appear. We'll start at the first chapter of John and read the first two verses of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, I'm just going to take a minute and read a few of these verses, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to start looking at these things. So we'll fast forward to John 10 and verse 30. And this verse states that I and my Father are one. Okay? And then we'll go to John 14. And we're going to read verse 2 and verse 9 in John 14. Oh. Yeah. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if you look down at verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now these verses are used a lot to explain, quite often, the oneness of God the Father and the Son. So what we're going to do is we're going to back up here and we're going to look at some of these things a little bit more in detail. And I thought, since we're here in John 14, we'll start by looking, we'll go back to verse 1 here and we'll read through verse 11. And what we're doing here is really getting the idea that we have to read the scriptures and understand them. And we can't just pick things out of a context to make something sound what we want it to sound like. So in John 14, it begins, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now this is Jesus speaking. This doesn't come up in red, as most Bibles have Jesus' words printed in red, but this is Jesus speaking. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. The reason why we read this whole text here is to get the understanding here more clearly. If we were to take a look at verse 9 and believe that when Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father, to take that literally and say, that must mean that Jesus is the Father. And there are lots of people who believe that today. And I was not raised in this faith, so that was not an uncommon teaching where I came from. If we were to take a look at just simply that context, we might be lured into thinking that that might be what that means. That's the reason why we read all the scriptures. That's why we read the context there. As Jesus is saying, do you understand, Philip? Do you understand that I am doing the works of my Father, that the things that you are seeing me do, the words that you are hearing me say, come from the Father? So in essence, Philip, you are seeing the Father by seeing me, because I am representing him. I am doing what he is asking me to do. Very important concepts here. Okay? Let's go to John 10. We're going to read verses 24 through 28, John 10. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And you have to remember that there's lots of things going on in these chapters here, that Jesus is about as plain as he can be in explaining that he was the Christ and showing these things. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them and said, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. This theme comes up repeatedly, I'm in the Father, the Father is in me. We're going to read numbers of texts here from this book that constantly reinforce this thought of Jesus being in the Father being in the Son. But we must be careful in terms of our understanding of who they are and why they're saying these things. Okay. Then let's go back to John 1. And we're going to read through this because there's a lot that happens but in these first 18 verses or so. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And if we stop for a minute and just simply jump to the idea that, well, Jesus is the Word, he's talked about as being the Word, so we could come up with a conclusion that Jesus is God if we don't do any more reading, if we don't do any more understanding. So let's read a little bit more, get more of an understanding of what John is actually trying to tell us. All the things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, if we go back and we look at this carefully, it's talking about God. It is talking about God, and it is talking about this thing called the Word. And the Greek word for word is the word logos, which we get our word logic from, but is also interpreted or translated thought or reason or speech. And all we'd have to do to understand that is we could take a minute and go back through Genesis 1, which we did in our teen study, and I said, what are the most common words that you see in Genesis 1? Two little phrases there. And God said, let there be. And the world was formed basically by his commands. And let there be the things that we had there. And God created it. So there is a good example of this logos, this word, bringing creation in. And that was in the beginning with God. We move on to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So John the apostle is writing now about John the Baptist, explaining that John was not the light, but it was a witness to that light. That light was Christ. Take a minute here, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 and read verses 10 through 16. Paul writing to the Corinthians to reinforce this idea here. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So this Spirit here is what reveals truth unto us. Let's go back to John. Actually, before we do, let's go to Romans 8. We're going to read 1 through 4 and 9 through 14 in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So we are led by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives us the understanding of seeking who God is and who Jesus is. Let's go back and read back in John 1. And we're going to read verse 14 here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word, this Logos again now, this thought, this idea, this logical reason, becomes manifest now in flesh. And how we know that is, we're going to go to Luke 1, and we are going to read in Luke 1, verses 26 to 35. This is the Word becoming flesh. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She wasn't understanding why she was getting so much attention here. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So it is the Word becoming flesh here, the angel representing God saying, Mary, you are highly favored. This is what will happen. You will have a son. You will name him Jesus. He will take the kingdom of his father David. His kingdom shall have no end. Much like what we read again, or we've read in Genesis 1. There will be. Let this happen, and it will happen. So it's the Logos becoming flesh here. Back to John. Let's read verse 18 in John 1 here. And this is an important text because, again, if we're picking texts apart, we can get lost in this pretty quickly. Verse 18 says, No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And how do we know this? We're going to go back to Exodus 33, a text that we have used many times. And we're going to read, we start at verse 12. We'll read 12 and 13 and then skip to 17 and read to the end of the chapter. So we're getting in the context here of Moses speaking with God. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Skipping to 17, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I will know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, now this is Moses asking, show me thy glory. And he said, and this is the Lord speaking, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now this is the closest anybody got to actually seeing God. But it was clear that God made rules about what could be seen and what could not be seen. So John once again is reiterating that no man hath seen God at any time. See, we will go back and let's go to John. We're going to go to John 5, and even Jesus, and verse 37. We're kind of breaking into a context here, but Jesus is saying again to the Jews, And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. They were looking at Jesus, and they saw him very well. He was bringing out this point for them to understand. Because the problem that they were having with him was that they couldn't believe that he was the Son of God. And as we've done in our discussions here with our teen class, these chapters in John, Jesus had to have been extremely frustrated in his ministry there, over and over again, trying to convince these people of the things that he said, the things that he did. And some were believing, but others were still not sure. Well, let's take a minute here, since we're running a little short on time. We're going to take a look at a couple other texts in John that we need to look at. And let's go to John 17. And we'll read verse 3. And Jesus, again, he's having this conversation now with his Father. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's interesting that this verse doesn't get used as much to try and explain the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Because this is an excellent text for us to understand. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's skip down to verse 21. The same chapter here. And this chapter talks, Jesus is going to his Father, and he's asking for him to glorify the apostles and bring this, because he's getting to the end of his ministry here. And he realizes that he is going to go to Calvary here. And so in this, he's asking his Father, we're kind of breaking into the sentence here, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Remember, we read a lot of that. We read that in John 10. We read it in John 14. That thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And why I bring these verses up? Because we really need to understand this idea of being one in another. Being one in spirit, being one in unity. Not one physically. Because this gets to be a little challenging to try and have a Godhead that now includes a lot of apostles here as well. So these verses are excellent to help us understand more of the nature of the unity of God. Well, in our last few minutes here, we're going to understand why. Why are there difficulties in understanding, in interpretation of things? Well, that's a great question. And we've got a few verses here that we'll go. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. I didn't write the chapter number. I have the verses down. Oh, my goodness. But it happens to be chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The first verse lists receiving not the love of the truth. We have lots of different denominations of churches in the world. And just a logical question is, why do why do we come to different conclusions about what's written? Why do we not understand? Why isn't there just one church we all go to? And unfortunately, it talks about here receiving not the love of the truth. If we don't have the love of the truth, then, you know, we'll believe in a strong delusion. We'll believe in a lie. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to emphasize this subject here, verses 13 to 15. Here's more challenge for us right here. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, we have challenges in receiving the love of the truth. We also have people out there who, as the verses are talking about here, false apostles, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, making it more difficult. So that's one reason why we get more interpretations of the truth. Let's go to Romans 1, since we're running short on time. And we'll read 18 through 25 in Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the evidence is here. There is no excuse. So when we change it into something else we like, God says, okay, here's what you're going to get. And so the lie continues. Remember, we've got 2,000 years roughly since the time of Christ to now. So there's been plenty of time for people to come along and introduce ideas and things. They get repeated for centuries. It doesn't necessarily make them right. So our words here are what we're going to go by. So finally, we're going to finish up here. We've got a couple of texts left. One is, we're going to go actually back up to verse 16 in Romans 1. And Paul writes to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He didn't write, I'm not ashamed of a lot of what we've written down, and there's some of it I wouldn't mess with. He's very inclusive in everything he says. I am not ashamed of the gospel. the gospel. We've talked about this before. What is the gospel? So what Paul knew and understood, clearly, he was not ashamed of. He didn't pick and choose through there. Finally, we're going to finish up in 2 Timothy 3. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not just some of it, all of it is. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. So let's remember these scriptures here, that when we have the verses, we will look at all of them and come up with the correct understanding and meaning. Thank you, and let's have a song. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, thank you once again for allowing us to be here today and to remember your words. Go with us as we leave today in safety, and help us to grow stronger in understanding of your truth and to be good examples to the world for those who are seeking it. Forgive us of our many times that we do fall short. Most importantly, we pray for a place in your Son's glorious kingdom as we patiently await for his return. Help us to stand strong until that day and be received there. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.